Hello and welcome back. I'm Amanda Goldston of www.learntarotonline.com, and today we're going to talk about the next of the suits, which is the Suit of Swords in the Rider-Waite deck. Now, the Suit of Swords is about things that are going on in our heads and minds. It often represents the analytical, logical, reasoning part of us. It's the head stuff part of us. The swords also will indicate our response to stress and how we cope with stress. It's representing thoughts, ideas, intellect, communication, logic, reasoning. Astrologically, it's representing the element of air, which is pointing towards the signs of Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. In the swords, we often find the worries and the fears. Some may be day-to-day worries, and some may be deep-rooted fears, strongly held beliefs and convictions. In amongst the swords as well, you can also find the might-be or what-if type of fears, some of which may be valid and some of which are totally unfounded. The swords can appear to be very challenging because they not only indicate the events of our lives, but also our reactions to them. When you think about people from an astrological point of view, displaying the characteristics of air, these people can be great visionaries with fantastic ideas, amazing communicators. They're often quick-witted and have razor-sharp brains. They can very much be people who seem to live on their nerves. Some of the other qualities you find around the swords are analytical, inventive, original, versatile and curious. The element of air can also be associated with space, computers, scientific and technological matters. It's interesting as well that it's now said that we've come into the age of Aquarius, and Aquarius is an air sign. Aquarius is all about the expansion, and it's interesting that it's thought that the age of Aquarius started in the 1960s, and the first signs of this were the starts of the space program and really the starts of computers connecting us and connecting our world, connecting our lives, and real sort of leaps forward in technology. On the negative side with the air signs, people, their heads can be full of a lot of ideas and very little action, hence the term airhead. They may be fickle and whimsical and perhaps find it hard to complete things, maybe nitpicky, critical, and can tie other people up in knots with their words. Maybe argumentative, lacking empathy, cynical, inflexible, eccentric, prone to changing their mind, very whimsical. When you're looking at the swords and looking at potential characteristics as well as events and people, it is important to bear all of these sorts of characteristics in mind. Because the first thing with a sword, when you physically look at it, is that it is double-edged. And certainly the picture of the swords that we have in this deck, it's very much a double-edge, which means that that sword can very often fall in either direction. And it can be used for good, or it can be used for something destructive. And this, more so with the swords, is very important to remember that duality aspect when you're looking at reading the cards for yourself or for other people. Now, the first of our cards we have is the Ace of Swords. And what we see here is the hand coming out of the cloud, grasping the sword, and it's quite a sturdy, quite kind of old looking sword with a big long blade on it. It's quite a fearsome looking weapon. However, it has the crown, the victor's crown, the victor's laurel wreaths at the top of it, and you kind of see this just emerging in a very barren landscape. The Ace card, as with all the aces, is a card of beginnings. The types of words you would associate with the Ace of Swords is new beginnings, idea, success, willpower, focus, direction, directed action. You can use your sword then to literally point at where you're going and cut through all of the obstacles. There is a definite force of will, mental energy, and it is also a card of victory and success. The Ace of Swords is requiring focus, clarity. It's indicating you have the strength and power within your own hands to accomplish whatever needs to be done. The opportunities that come with the Ace of Swords could be challenging, and you will probably have to call on the full force of your will or personality, your willpower, your staying power. However, the crown at the top of the sword is indicating the success. It will require you to have courage, resourcefulness, determination. And what's also important with the swords is that you have an honest, ethical approach. Being able to understand what needs to be done and cut through irrelevant things. The Ace of Swords can point to truth and justice, to championing a cause, standing up for what you believe to be right. However, the sword, to be very careful of it, can also be used to cut through pretty much anything that's standing in the way, whether that's people, whether that's obstacles. And it is important to remember that the sword can cut through and take you to where you want to go. The sword, with the quick tongue, with the sharp words, can also be used to criticise people, to wound them deeply where maybe you can't see a wound, and to shred somebody to pieces. When you see swords coming up in a reading, it's very important that you stress to the person you're reading for the importance of using the sword for good and for constructive and for dealing with things, but coming from the place of the highest good. Because again, a sword wielded with the aim of harming others has a bit of a nasty habit of coming back and sticking itself in us, or somebody literally falling on their own sword. The importance of the double edge in the sword, you only have to think of the language associated with swords to see how important it is for both positive and less constructive. Things like falling on his own sword, things like cutting through an issue, cutting to the chase, i.e. getting to the point of something. So it's really important to see what else is around and to make sure that the sword is being used from a place of highest good, because it has a huge amount of force behind it. So the next card we're going to talk about is the Two of Swords. So if you take the card out and have a good look at it, or look at it in the notes, here we see a very bluish looking card. So clearly there's an awful lot here relating to the emotions. There's a very blue background. We've got the moon, which is usually indicating something to do with the emotions, deep feelings. We see a figure in white, which is usually quite a spiritual colour, who's blindfolded, sitting on a stone, cold, hard stone slab in front of a fairly vast expanse of water with two swords crossed over her chest. I mean, over the chest. It looks more of a female figure, although it could quite easily be either. The Two of Swords here, the sort of key words that come up with this is indecision, lack of clarity, confusion, worry, stress. It is a card where a decision quite clearly needs to be made about something. The figure really doesn't seem to know what to do, and either does not seem to be able to see all the necessary information to think clearly, maybe struggling to see the cards the consequences of actions, very much a card of indecision. Something needs to be done. But this is a card of actually being a little bit in denial, of maybe a bit like an ostrich burying its head in the sand. It's quite possible that the decision needs to be made logically, which is the representation of the swords. The swords are about logic, intellect, rationale, reasoning. However, there is a huge amount of emotion attached to the decision, which is symbolised by all the water and the moon. The choice, it may be one that's causing a great deal of stress, great deal of worry. It is quite likely that whatever decision has to be made is inevitably going to end up hurting somebody and somebody's feelings. So it's probably the best thing is for the person to actually look at what is best for them, because it's one of those decisions where they are unlikely to be able to please everybody. Now, with the swords crossed across the chest, this is as though the figure has put up a real barrier. Now, whether this is a barrier to the external world, whether this is stopping emotions and feelings from other people coming in, or whether by crossing her hands across with the swords, she's trying logically to block out the emotions and block out the feelings to keep either everybody out or to keep her actual emotions and feelings inside because of this great feeling that the decision has to be made logically. And it may well be that she's almost unwilling to accept a truth about the situation or the feelings, and almost deny its existence. So it's a card of choice, of decision. The swords are pointing towards needing to be logical. However, all the water is saying that the decision should be logical, but is actually more likely to end up being emotional in its base, simply because of what's involved with it. The next one, in kind of true sword approach, is another quite challenging card that when people see it go down, there's very often a little bit of a sharp intake of breath. In fact, I've seen in a lot of readings where somebody is under a lot of pressure, a lot of pain, a lot of stress, and numerous sword cards are appearing in their reading. It is a difficult, challenging time for somebody. Now, the Three of Swords, this is the only sword card that doesn't actually have a figure in it. And what we can see here is a heart that literally is pierced by three swords, which is quite a dramatic looking card. And its meaning can be equally dramatic. It's pointing towards arguments, heartache, sorrow, conflict. Maybe somebody has had a pain, real trauma, where their heart literally feels like it's been broken. It's a heartbreak of some form. It can literally be a heart attack for somebody, although be very, very careful before offering that as an interpretation. And very much look at the other cards that are around it to see whether that's something else that's pointing. If there is, if there are other cards pointing towards poor health, other cards pointing towards somebody being stressed, maybe recovering from something, before you make a categoric statement, sometimes that can be worth a gentle inquiring. It can also, again, depending on the cards around it, be a miscarriage in a pregnancy. But that is also something to be very, very, very careful before you interpret that for somebody. Because with cards like that, if you've got it wrong, and whenever we're reading cards, the interpretation is subjective, there is always an outside possibility that we've got something wrong. Which is why we must never state things as categoric, fixed, unchangeable, nothing we can do about it. Just be very careful around those cards, you might actually find that you may get an intuitive prompt about it, or even this is perhaps one to be as vague as to say that there's been heartbreak or arguments, and that may be enough. That may simply be enough. There are likely to be some very, very raw emotions around this card, although they may or may not be expressed. There's sorrow, sadness, strife, conflict, disappointment, and great emotional pain for somebody. In an argument, it may be that there are things that need to be said in order to clear the air. However, those things that need to be said may be very painful to say or to be heard. You might find this comes up in relation to somebody who's very fond of telling other people a few home truths and very fond of kind of telling other people where, in their opinion, they're not living their life correctly. So just be very careful. When you see the Three of Swords, my advice would very much be look carefully at what's around and pause and think carefully before you make an interpretation. Think about the power of your words that they are having on another person. Because one of the things to remember when you are reading cards, and particularly if you go on to do this from a professional basis, many people that come to a tarot card reader or a psychic will actually be willing to give away so much of their personal power because they're wanting somebody to take responsibility for their lives. And that's another don't do that. But also, they can take the words that a tarot card reader or a psychic or a medium says and literally take them to be the truth. As a reader, when people are trying to give you their personal power, they can give you more power than they would a doctor. And your words can have more impact and more power. And in fact, actually at this point is probably a good place to give you an example of this. And the power that people give to readers, which is why it's so important to watch your language, watch what you say, think about the impact you're having on that person's life. A good number of years ago, when I first started reading cards, I had gone to quite a huge big event, and it was a mixture of an open air, it was an undercover marketplace, and there was a mixture of antiques and crafts and all kinds of things. And I was getting towards the end of the day, and this gentleman came and sat down in front of me. And he would have been about in his mid-60s, I would guess, perhaps a little bit older. And I can still kind of see him now, little sort of lovely gentleman, a bit balding head and just really nice. And he sat down in front of me, and he was clearly really upset and really distressed. And I think he just really wanted somebody to talk to. And we just kind of threw his cards down to have a look at things for him. And what it turned out was that he had just come from visiting his wife in a nursing home locally. And the more he told me the story of this, the more I just wanted to reach out and hug him. Because it appears what had happened was that 2 or 3 years prior to this, he and his wife had been a very, very active couple. They had gone away a lot. They travelled a lot. They were a very close together couple. They used to do a lot of dancing. And that was the thing that struck in my mind, was the dancing. They'd done a lot of dancing together and really enjoying their lives and their retirement. They had gone to see a reader who, I don't know if it was a psychic, I can't remember. And this particular person had told the lady that within 2 years, she would be paralysed from the waist down and she would be in a wheelchair. My heart filled with pain when the man was telling me this, because I thought, I know exactly what you're going to tell me next. And it seems then that virtually to the day, the lady had had a stroke, which had paralysed her all down one side. She'd ended up in a wheelchair. She'd ended up then having to have 24-hour nursing care in a nursing home and was never, ever likely to come out and walk or dance again. And that story so upset me, and it stuck with me. This must have been 10, 12, 15 years ago. And the point to that is that that psychic or that tarot reader made such an emphatic prediction, and I would imagine in amongst the spread there was probably a fair few sword cards in there, but she'd made such an emphatic prediction, that lady's subconscious mind had taken that on board as truth, as fact, to the day, virtually. She'd had a stroke, she was paralysed and in the wheelchair, which is much like a doctor telling somebody that they've got 6 months to live. So anyway, to come back off my soapbox, it is something I feel so passionate about. Be very, very careful what you say to people. And even if you're looking at the cards and you're looking at something that seems difficult, seems challenging, seems very hard going, we all go through periods where there's challenge. And my belief is that if you can use the tarot cards to show somebody a way forward, to show somebody that there is hope, there is optimism, and you can leave them at the end of the reading feeling that, okay, they may still be in a very challenging situation. However, there are things that they can tangibly do about it. And that at the end of the day, there is actually light at the end of the tunnel. Because what you've then done for that person is you have enabled their own creative resources to kick into gear. Their creativity, their intuition, their problem-solving abilities, their abilities to think and rationalise, which actually is part of the power of the swords. Because when somebody is in a very difficult, challenging position, more often than not, they need the logic to be able to kind of see their way through the emotional side, particularly if it's very foggy. Even though you can't always say to somebody that you can't always give them a definite outcome, they can come away with at least a grain of optimism that there is something that can be done. Then I would say, as a reader, you've done a good job. And that is not about being Pollyanna-ish. That is not about giving people false hope and false optimism that they'll walk out of your office and everything will be fine, because that may not necessarily be the case. But to give them something where they feel that they've at least got something that they can do. Moving on to the next card, which is the Four of Swords. Now, in the Four of Swords, we see here a figure of a knight laid out on a stone table, this is often thought of actually as a tomb underneath. And if you ever come to London, there's quite a few of these around numerous churches, particularly Westminster Abbey. And what we see here is a knight in what looks like a sacred area. You've got a stained glass window in the back. You've got three swords coming down and one underneath. And the knight is lying there in a place of actually total peace. His hands are in a position of the prayer position. And he's in a place where he literally is resting. Some of the words associated with the Four of Swords is recovery, retreat, a time to de-stress, time for some solitude, take some time out. It's recuperation, convalescence. It indicates a real need to take some time out and literally just do nothing. It may be a time of quiet contemplation and preparation for the next steps. Maybe a time for mind, body and spirit to heal. This card often shows up for somebody who's overworked, stressed, worn out, just completely run down. And you'll often see things like the Ten of Wands, which is the overwhelm. Maybe the Five or Seven of Wands, which is battling. You'll often see these kind of cards around it as well. And it really is just a need for resting, recuperation, perhaps somebody recovering from an illness, that it is important for them to allow themselves to recover fully before they start doing too much again. The next card is the Five of Swords. And here we see again a very sort of bluey, emotional type of card with very bluey skies, a lot of blue water. And we see the one figure at the front that has got all the swords. So he's got all five swords and is looking in some ways a little bit triumphant, a little bit smug. And the other figures sort of walking off. Clearly they've lost their swords, they've lost the battle. And there seems to be quite a bit of distress amongst them. Whereas the figure that's holding all the swords really seems to be in some ways quite triumphant. The types of things that come up with this card is there's conflict and victory. There's a strong adversary, which may be that is you, or it may be it's you that's coming up against somebody else who literally has managed to manipulate and get hold of all the swords, all the aces. This, it's a card of conflict and victory, but at the expense of other people. The figure with the swords is looking very smug, and this can be a quarrel which has ended up in a very hollow victory. Literally, you could almost say that somebody has won the battle, but the war is far from over. There's no real winners. One person has the swords, and this is often to the detriment of everybody else. This is a kind of us against them mentality. It's a selfish card. There's no cooperation. Now, this may be that you're up against somebody who's much stronger than you are, and that they have all the factors in their favour. It may actually be that you are the stronger. And as this has come up as a swords, you may find that this is somebody who is able to manipulate and control, knows exactly the right words to say, knows exactly the hot buttons to press. Because the thing to remember with the swords is that whilst there might be conflict and argument and battling going on, this is much more mental and verbal. It's not so much physical fighting and physical fisticuffs. It's more what people say, it's more mind games, it's more controlling people's behaviour through the power of words, through manipulation, through psychology and mind games, which is a lot of what the swords is about. The next card, which is the Six of Swords, we start here to move into a slightly better tone for the whole card. Although this is a fairly bland looking card, you can see a boatman here rowing across or paddling across an expanse of water. You've got two figures huddled in front and all of the swords standing up in the boat. This is, and you can actually see he's moving the boat out of the choppy water into a much calmer place, the other side. And this is a card of better conditions, looking beyond your current pain, moving forward, you're moving out of the choppy seas into a better place, into a better situation. The Six of Swords that are standing up in the front of the boat, it may be that you're actually taking all your worries and all your problems with you. So you may be trying to move forward, trying to escape, but you're perhaps bringing with you unnecessary baggage from the past that is actually hindering you. It's interesting that the swords are standing in the boat, yet they do not seem to be piercing the boat. So there's no water coming in the boat to flood it. This may well be that in order to move forward, you have to be looking at the head, the logic, the rationale, and go with the logic of a situation rather than the emotions of it. And it very well may be that you're moving away from the stress, anxiety, pain, and into better conditions, although sometimes it can be very difficult to see that and to be able to focus on where you're going, it can be very easy to keep that mental focus on things that are going wrong and not working. And this is very much about letting go of the pain of that past situation, allowing yourself to move into a better place. There may well be self-development and transformation taking place as well. The Seven of Swords. This is another very interesting card, because here we see quite a bright yellowy looking card. Now, normally the bright yellow is to do with the self, the solar plexus, the ego. And here we see a figure who's carrying five swords and looks as if he's kind of sneaking away from the tents or from the town that's in the background. There's still two swords there standing. But interestingly, when you look at the figure, he seems to be almost creeping away, but he's got this kind of quite smug look on his face. And the way he's actually carrying the swords is incredibly inefficient. It almost looks as if he could take a step forward and drop them all on his toe. The types of words that I found associated with this card are theft, loss, sneaking away, something underhand, cunning, someone taking something in some way. Now, this is interesting because you can look at this from both sides. It can be a feeling that someone's taking from you. It can also be that perhaps you are taking in some way from somebody else, whether you're maybe taking advantage of them in some way, taking them for granted, perhaps taking of time, money, resources. The expression on the figure's face kind of suggests he thinks he's got away with something that maybe really he knows he shouldn't have done. It's quite likely the swords could slip on his toes, which means that if he has got something where he's sneaking his underhand, this could point to his actions coming back to haunt him and getting found out about something. If somebody's contemplating actions which they know are not quite right or legal or ethical, this may well be a card warning that they're likely to get found out. And if they do, it will be most likely due to their own feelings of guilt or conscience. And especially if you have that around something like the Devil card, they probably will get found out and their actions are more than likely to come back and haunt them. The Eight of Swords. Here we see a figure who's sort of bound with bandages and a blindfold over her eyes, with eight swords standing behind, and this sort of acting behind her and round her, acting as a barrier between her and the sort of the town on the cliff behind. The orange is the colour of the sacral centre, which is the second chakra point, and that is about our creativity, possibly to do with sexual things. Now, if you look at the figure, yes, she's blindfolded. However, if you look at the bandages, they look to be really quite loose around her. So really, she could kind of wiggle her way forward and just sort of wiggle out of the bandages. This is a card of restriction, of limitations, of obstacles, of feeling trapped. And it may be that there are logical things around which justify feeling trapped, looking in at it from a logical outside situation. But notice here all the water as well, which is all relating to the emotions. And this can point towards feeling trapped, restricted, hemmed in from an emotional perspective as well. When you see this card, you may find a lot of the types of phrases of I can't because. And it is the restriction may be self-imposed. It may not be as difficult as perceived, because remember, The swords are about perceptions, thoughts, logic, what's going on in our head. It might be about limiting beliefs about your capabilities. You often find the type of phrase of, I can't because, which may or may not be justified. This can be where somebody physically feels trapped, backed into a corner or imprisoned by someone else or by their own circumstances. And this can also indicate that someone has given away their personal power. It may be that they are feeling trapped, feeling like a victim, perhaps waiting for someone to come and rescue. Some of the situation may be of the person's own making, and inevitably there will be some choices that that person can make to move themselves forward. As difficult as that may seem, by finding the clarity of thought, which is indicated by the swords, there is a solution, there is a way forward, providing that person wants to find that solution. If they want to stay in a place, or they're choosing, perhaps is a better word, if they're choosing to stay in a place of, I can't because, and there's a big long list of why they can't, sometimes, again, it can be difficult to help those people to access their own resources. But say, certainly with this card, a lot of the restrictions may not be as bad as they're perceived to be. The Nine of Swords, this is another card when it comes up that people, especially when they're very stressed and under a lot of pressure, can take one look at the card and go, yeah, that is exactly how I feel. And you see here a figure sitting up in bed, clearly very upset, very distressed. You see all the swords on the wall behind. It looks as if it's nighttime. It's a very dark, dark card, very dark time. This is a card pointing towards grief, despair, distress, desolation, illness, stress, worry. The figure really does look very, very upset. There may be health issues related to this, perhaps hospital visits coming up. If somebody is at their wit's end with something, there may be great anxiety, depression, nightmares, insomnia, stress-related conditions, maybe women's health issues, or even surgery. With the head in the hands, this can indicate a refusal to look at the world, or simply to bury your head in the sand in the hope that everything will just go away, that you'll wake up in the morning and it will have all resolved itself. And certainly from my experience, I've found that that often is not the case. During the dark of night is the time when all our fears, doubts, worries and feelings of guilt, pain, anxiety, anger, all come bubbling up into the surface. And sometimes the pain of these feelings is so much, we literally feel like just putting our head in our hands and crying. Perhaps is examining the choices you're making, and maybe a small change could make a huge difference. This is very important, again, to look around, see what other cards there are around this card, and see if you can one point to the cause of it, and again be able to point people towards finding better solutions. I mean, it may be that somebody really does need to go through a period of crying, of release, which can all be part of a healing process. The challenge comes when somebody spends night after night after night awake at night, crying, worrying, with their head in their hands, with the, I don't know what to do, I can't go forward. That is when things become very difficult. Sometimes we do need to just allow ourselves to express all of these feelings, let them come up and express them, and then be able to look to find ways to move on, to move through, to move past, to heal and move forward with a new solution. The Ten of Swords is another card that, to anybody that doesn't have any understanding of the tarot, it can literally strike terror and fear into their hearts. Here we see a very largely dark black grey card. You've got at least a good half of the card is all very dark. We see a figure here lying on the ground with 10 swords stuck in his back. We do also, though, however, see the new dawn rising in the background, which is the sun, the new beginnings in the background. And this in some ways can be a card that is similar to the death card in its symbolism and in its meaning. Got here, endings and beginnings, literally feeling let down, feeling anxiety, literally feeling as though you've been stabbed in the back by somebody and feeling that you've been let down. Almost in some ways feeling the pain that almost might be an ending, some sort of physical ending. But however, with endings, you always have new beginnings. This is a card of anxiety, loss, misfortune. Something has come to an end. Metaphorically, the situation is dead. However, that means there is always rebirth and renewal. The gold in the sky is the new day dawning. And it's often said that the darkest hour is just before dawn. This, however, is not meant to minimalise the sense of loss or pain that somebody might be feeling. And it is important to be sensitive to the feelings that somebody might have. It does, though, indicate that there is hope in sight. On a slightly lighter note, this card can have a slightly more humorous meaning to it. It can be a massive overreaction to something or to someone. Maybe somebody making a huge mountain out of a molehill, or maybe somebody who is a complete drama queen, or whatever the male equivalent of that might be. I haven't quite worked that one out yet. I've also seen it where it's somebody who is a total hypochondriac. This came up next to a King of Cups in a reading, and when I saw it, I very much got the feeling that the King of Cups was displaying all the nitpicky, critical, crabby, woe is me, victim, negative side of the King of Cups. And seeing it next to this Ten of Swords, I actually found myself chuckling and thinking that is a person who is totally looking for sympathy, is a total hypochondriac, a total victim, a total woe is me type of person. And I was describing this to the lady concerned, and she started laughing and said, yes, I know exactly who that is. It's almost in a way with the Ten of Swords is that when you have a drama and a crisis, why make do with only one sword stabbing you in the back or letting you down when you could just as easily have 10? So just kind of watch for it, because again, a lot of these cards can have several layers of meaning. In fact, most of them do. And most of them, you'll see something yourself that you think, yeah, I like that. That really resonates with me. Again, just kind of watch how it comes up in the context that it comes up in. So that covers the sword cards. We're now going to look at the court cards that are with the swords. So the page, the knight, the queen, and the king. In the page of swords, we see here a youngish figure standing on a hill out in the countryside by the look of it. It's quite windswept countryside. Surrounded by clouds, holding a sword, or I would almost kind of say brandishing a sword. This is really looks as if it's somebody who's quite on the defensive over something and looks as if they're sort of swinging the sword around, almost to say, well, kind of don't come near me type of thing. the pose is actually quite aggressive, almost as if the person is ready to strike at something or someone. The types of keywords you have with the Page of Swords can be childlike, temperamental, headstrong, aggressive, defensive. It can be a child or a young person. They may well be displaying a lot of the characteristics of the air signs. This may be somebody who's quick-witted, perhaps sharp-tongued. The pose of the page almost points towards the more negative aspects of the air signs. I mean, they are very likely to be bright, lively, with a quick mind, vivid imagination. But there also seems to be the element of gossip, troublemaking, tying people in knots with their words. As a person, probably quite likely to be immature, or maybe prone to temper tantrums and stamping their feet, or whatever the adult equivalent of that might be. There's very little empathy. They seem to be impatient, critical, sarcastic, no real understanding of their impact, the impact of their words and feelings on other people. Now, it may be a child with air type qualities, and there may be more positive aspects to it, but I tend, when I see this card, to think of somebody kind of pouting, stamping their feet, doing whatever they can to get their own way, regardless of what other people might want. When you see the Page of Swords as a situation, it can describe things being done in far too much of a hurry, with little or no thought to the consequences. There's impatience, rashness, not listening to the input of other people. Now, when you see the Knight of Swords, again, we have this same theme of rushing, impulsiveness, headstrong, heading headlong into something. It's a very energized card. I mean, you see here, there's a knight on a horse that's charging through the landscape. It looks at great speed, in great haste, with his sword drawn, ready to sort of kind of go into battle and cut something to bits. Everything's kind of flying out in the wind here. And actually, I look at the horse and almost kind of think the horse looks a bit frightened as well. This is a very kind of, right, let's go straight into it, gung-ho, head off, no real thought type of card. And this is the sort of energy that there is around the Knight of Swords. You've got risk-taking, lack of thought, speed, impulsive. It may be somebody just going straight headlong into something with no real thought. The person concerned, as a person, can be full of fantastic ideas, can often be capable, fearless, can be quite impulsive and a risk-taker. They may well be a great communicator, but could well be tactless, sarcastic, blunt and rude. Again, they're likely to have all the qualities of an air person. Quick-witted, intelligent, sharp, great ideas, great communication. But there can also be the impulsiveness, the lack of empathy. This may be somebody who's quite immature, yet convinced of their own superiority. They can be a great ally and really fight your corner for you while it suits them. However, if they decide that they're off on the next project, they can be very fickle and whimsical, and you should certainly be very careful of placing long-term trust in them. As a situation, this can indicate sudden events where someone needs to take charge quickly so that maybe the whole thing doesn't end up in complete chaos. And if you're delegating a project, be careful of the person that you choose to take on the role of leading it forward. The Queen of Swords. Here we see an older looking lady, looking quite austere, quite emotionless, sitting on quite an ornate throne out in the middle of the scenery, with a little tiny trickle of emotion, of water in the background, holding a sword. Now, the Queen of Swords is somebody that shares all the characteristics of the air people. The types of words you find with the Queen of Swords. Often a woman, although it can also represent an older person, maybe somebody who's widowed or who's on their own. The types of words you find, it's tough, independent, honest, shrewd, straight-talking, perhaps have a sharp tongue, maybe a little bit sarcastic and abrasive, quick-witted, intelligent, logical, analytical, certainly won't suffer fools gladly, can be incredibly perceptive and literally see through people and situations very, very quickly. She may even be a person that is fond of telling people a few home truths, regardless of how much pain that is likely to cause somebody, and regardless of whether they wanted to hear what she's got to say or not. Generally, she's honest and truthful, may well take the moral high ground with somebody. She's really not someone to be messed with, and certainly not someone to lie to, because she really won't appreciate that. She likes to be in control. She tends to keep her feelings to herself, and she may be quite soft on the inside, but very much works very hard to make sure that people don't actually see that or see that she could be vulnerable in some way. And as a situation, this can bring tough bargains and negotiating. The matter is likely to need to be dealt with in a very matter-of-fact way and following the rule book. There will be little room for emotional matters when it relates to a situation. Our final card in the suit of swords is the King of Swords. And here we see a figure, again, very quite well-dressed, very austere, very straightforward, practical in his dress, not particularly ornate and particularly showy, sitting there, firmly holding the sword. And interestingly, he is the only one of the kings that is looking directly at us, that is looking at us straight in the face and straight in the eye. When you see the King of Swords coming up, the types of words associated with this is maybe a businessman, honest, efficient, detailed, logical, analytical. He may show up as a man of law, perhaps a solicitor or a policeman. He is generally very straightforward, tough, honest, generally fair and honest in his dealings. He's not one for taking any nonsense from anyone, and has a very, very clear idea of where he's going. Intelligent, quick-witted, can be detail-oriented, tends to be very analytical and efficient. He usually takes quite a clinical, unemotional approach to matters, can be rigid, strict and inflexible when it comes to be sticking to the rules. Now, this may be absolutely wonderful if this is in a legal or official situation, or it may be somebody negotiating a tough business deal. However, in personal matters, a King of Swords can be very difficult, can be very hard work, because he can be very cut off from his feelings. And the feelings can then show as cynicism, sarcasm, independence. And as a situation, the King of Swords tells you that you need a rational, logical, analytical approach, where expectations should be realistic. Again, there is no room here for emotional matters. It needs to be logical, black and white, straight down the line, provable, factual, and anything else around that is just likely to be considered to be fluff and quite irrelevant. So we've now actually progressed through so that we've got virtually all of the cards. We've got the Major Arcana, the 22 cards. We've got the 14 cards of the Cup cards. We've got the 14 cards of the Wands. And now the 14 cards of the Swords. So far, we've dealt with major issues that come up in the Major Arcana, both in terms of personality, characteristics, and events. We've dealt with the emotions and feelings that come up in the Cup cards. We've dealt with the the fire, the creativity, the action, the work that comes with the wands. And we've dealt with the logic, rationale, intellect and reasoning that comes with the swords. Again, what I would say to you, as we've stressed all along, the important thing with this is to practice. Lay all of these cards out side by side, look at each one, notice the colours, notice what's happening, notice what you can see in the pictures. How do they make you feel? And use the cards now to practice as we've done before. We've talked about the Celtic cross spread, and we've also talked about the 21 card Romani spread. In terms of learning, it's probably best for the time being just to stick with those two. If you want something that's a little bit less, you can just do a 3-card spread. So shuffle the cards up, cut them, and just literally lay them as 3 cards, side by side, from left to right, the left being the past, the centre being the present, and the right being the future. That's another good one to practice building up a story. But you've got what is probably the easiest two spreads to work with, which is the Celtic cross and the Romani spread. So keep practicing, keep putting the cards side by side, building up the story of what's going on in the cards, creating the scenarios, asking some questions yourself, because we've only actually got one more session left, which is the Pentacles, which we'll cover next. So keep practicing. You're doing really, really well. Enjoy the journey and have fun as you're going along. I'm Amanda Goldston, www.learntarotonline.com, and I'll be back with you again very soon.